most of the year they're inside. So during the summer, you find a lot of people outside. And I took a long walk, and I noticed that a lot of people were being led around by their dogs, right? And so I noticed one very elderly man. He was sitting there waiting for his dog to do whatever, and he had to stoop and scoop and do all that stuff. And then I saw another lady with five dogs, two hands being dragged here and there. And I was thinking, boy, that guy's a slave to those dogs. I'm thinking, he's having to stand there and wait for them to do their business, and he's going there, and that one's going there, and sniffing this and sniffing that. And now, I don't know if you know, but they actually have belts, special belts for people that walk their dogs. They have little places that they hook on all the bags, and then they have another hook to hook the bags that are filled with stuff in it, and then they have the roller this. They have special things like this. Not only that, but you're wondering, who really is the master, and who is being, the slave? So, I know that in Jacksonville, near where we go on Beach Harinon, there's a bakery for dogs. Yes. And there are resorts for dogs. There are spas for dogs. And these so-called masters have to get the money and go to these places and serve their dogs in this manner. And then I was thinking, well, my mother, when she got that bombshell dropped on her, the phone call, I found the absolute truth. I found Prabhupada. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve Krishna. And that was it. She was thinking, you're going to become a slave. You're going to become a slave of a guru. You have to bow down, and you're going to have to give up your enjoyment, your sports, your parties, golf. and she was just like, yeah, and you're going to be forced to do this. And she was really thinking that, I'm going to become a slave, that I'm not going to be able to do anything. I'm going to be controlled. I'm going to be, not paid anything. I'm going to have to do all kinds of things I don't want to do. And so when we think of slavery, we have that really ugly picture of the South, right? Of people being brutally forced to do what they didn't want to do, no payment, control in their life. A really ugly picture. And it's not a nice thing. The masters were torturing them like inhumans. And so this is nothing that anyone wants to go through. And so we're thinking that it's in the past. But is it in the past? When I was in the airport the other day, there were regular notices, and then there was another one that said, if you see any suspicious activity of human trafficking, please call so-and-so. I thought, they're having to say this in the airport because it's becoming such a prominent thing. So what do you call that? And then if you think of the shackles on people that have habits of intoxication and so many simple activities, they're being slaves of things that they don't want to do, but they're forced to be bound to the results of those sinful activities. And then I read an article recently about the migration around the world. Hundreds of thousands of people are migrating from their homes. They're leaving their homes, they're leaving their families, they're leaving their occupations, they're leaving everything they own and leaving their countries and going somewhere else because they're not satisfied, because of politics, because of famine, whatever. War, so like politics, everything. It's a shame. And then there's also we're being tortured by our minds. How many people are in anxiety and stress? How many pills are thrown in people's mouths because their minds are torturing them? So this is a type of slavery. Maya has captured and is enslaving so many people. But then I was thinking, I looked closer at the dog and the man. And I said, actually, it's maybe his only companion in life. And maybe there's some affection. And this is actually a service he's doing. It's a duty, but he's doing it because there's some relationship between that dog and that person. And then I thought about, becoming a disciple of a guru. And how a disciple is actually is bowing down in voluntarily to receive information and accepting some inconvenience, maybe. Maybe I can't play golf. Maybe I can, but anyway, I don't. So we have a good master, and we're getting paid. We're getting the benefits of getting out of this material world of birth and death. We're getting control of our mind and our senses. We're becoming a master in some ways. So this attitude of service, there's many different levels of it. Of course, there's maids and there's blue-collared workers. There's sudras. Some people are considered, even your white-collar workers, your professionals, they're doing service, right? Even the service to the president is doing service. So then there's armed forces, right? They volunteer. They're doing service for the country. So all different levels of service. Actually, everyone is serving. Life demands service. We can't get away from it. And it's actually our constitutional position. But the man with the dog, that service is, we understand, is misdirected. It's actually meant for spiritual advancement. An intelligent person will see that I can actually use this service attitude and try to please the Supreme Lord, like it's saying in this purport here. So we're actually very honored and privileged to have the service of Srila Prabhupada and the Supreme Lord. It's a great honor, just like we pray to Tulsi Maharani. Thank you for that privilege. So the Lord is very nice. He's facilitated this training of learning how to serve in the proper mood. And he's arranged this process of bhakti, learning how to have the right intention, not to please ourselves, but to please the sweet Supreme Lord, like I said a few times in this purport. And the first step, of course, is that we have to bow down in submission, and we have to inquire of the absolute truth. And then we engage in service. And this actually, this allows the transmission of transcendental knowledge to come and enlighten us. And it actually puts down that curtain of maya, of illusion. So that's very important to hear and to serve the spiritual master. Of course, there's a very nice story of Narada Muni, that actually he was, one lifetime, he was a maidservant's son, and that his mother would serve the great sages when they would come to the ashram. And Narada Muni would listen to the great sages and realize, oh, there's so much knowledge coming from here. And so then he asked his mother if he could serve and wash their plates and clean up after they're eating. And so then he asked the sages, may I take some of the remnants from those plates? And he did that. So he was hearing and chanting and tasting the remnants of the devotees. And from there, he got such power and such potency to become, of course, our transcendental spaceman and most intimate associate of the Supreme Lord, doing all kinds of the most wonderful service to help spread the glories of the Holy Name. So these acts of service to the spiritual master and becoming a disciple, disciplined, is very, very important. The sages do recommend, though, that we don't get too intimate, that our service doesn't make us so close to our spiritual master that we lose our respect. It's very important to have that that humility. Humility is a very nice condition to grow bhakti in. Just like after the rain, tomorrow I'll probably go pull weeds. Why? Because the ground is soft, right? It's very easy. They come out very easy. And then it's also, when it's damp like that, you can put your seeds in. You don't have to water. It's already just nice and damp. And then they grow. So in the same way, that humility is a wonderful condition. It softens our hearts. It's easy to pluck out all the nasty things. And then you can plant that seed of devotion. So humility is very important in that service attitude. So gradually we get purified by serving and by cultivating bhakti. And then we can actually show our collar. It's not blue. It's not white. It's our dog collar. Our beads. our Tulsi beads, right? That we're actually Krishna's dog. So there's a nice song, I'll read it in English. It's called Sarvasha Tamar Charani. So it says, now taking all that I possess and surrendering it unto your lotus feet, O Lord, I throw myself down before your house. You are the master of the house. Kindly consider me your own dog. Chaining me nearby, you will maintain me, and I shall lie at your doorstep. I will not allow your enemies to enter, but will keep them outside the bounds of the surrounding moat. Whatever food remnants your devotees leave behind after honoring your prasad will be my daily sustenance. I will feast on those remnants in great bliss. While sitting up or lying down, I will constantly meditate on your lotus feet. Whenever you call me, I will immediately run to you and dance in rapture. I will never even think about arranging for my own nourishment and will remain absorbed in ever-cherishing love for my master. Bhaktivinoda Thakur now accepts you as his only maintainer. So this is our real identity, that we're Krishna's dog, his faithful servant. Of course, in the beginning, that service might be mixed with some other desire and hankering that haunt us, that are there, that linger, might stain the purity of our service. But devotional service is very, very powerful, and it can erase all that. Just like the Brahmins, when the cowherd boys went to ask food, the Brahmins who were doing ritual for the sake of doing ritual did not respond and did not give the food to Krishna, even though requested. They were too busy just doing what they thought was their duty. But the wives of the Brahmins, immediately, their attitude was, yes, here, take everything. I'll cook whatever you like. Yes, feed Krishna Balaram. So this is the proper attitude. So, of course, we aspire to have that attitude, and we beg for it. We beg every day, the Hare Krishna mantra, please accept what little service I'm doing. When I was young, there was, maybe someone can help me who's my age, there was a commercial, and it always ended up with we have service with a smile. Anybody remember that? It was on TV. It said, we give service with a smile. And so I was thinking, that's the way we should do all our services, with a smile. I went to Peru a couple of times, and there's a restaurant in Miraflores. And in that restaurant, it's an amazing restaurant. It's always very busy. I think it's closed now, but anyway, for years it's been open. And they serve apple pie with shrikhan on top. What a nice combination. It was like thick shrikhan. It was just like, you didn't need anything else. Anyway, but people didn't go there just for that. But they actually went there because there was one aspiring devotee who worked there, and he was a waiter at the tables. And everyone wanted to go there to be waited by him. What was his name? You were there. I can't remember. It was about to somebody. Anyway, everyone wanted to be waited on him. And I was watching. We went there, and I was watching him, and he had a big smile. He was serving everyone, asking, how you doing? Can I help this? Can I help that? And so Krishna is also looking. Are we doing our service with a smile? Or is maybe some of that fresh, surrendered attitude that we had when we first come, is it beginning to fade a little bit? You know, actually the nectar of instruction, the nectar of devotion describes that one of the first symptoms of devotional service is that you get relief from material distress, and how happy we were to jump in that kitchen and wash the dishes and happy to do this, so fired up, do anything, anytime, anywhere, any time of day and night, and we were in bliss. But now we ask, can you do this? Well, I don't know, Prabhu, it's not my service. And or it's like, I think I'm being taken advantage of, you know? So this kind of attitude is not what we want. So we need to refresh our surrender attitude and realize that that we should really be at the highest level eventually, and that is what Lord Chaitanya said, and that's to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Lord, actually said that I'm a servant of the gopis, who are the greatest servants, because they didn't have any aspiration for anything in return. Just like it says in the purport, I'm only thinking of Krishna's pleasure. And so when we're doing our service, are we thinking of Krishna's pleasure? Are we thinking, how much longer? Especially in our japa. We have to make sure we don't have that that attitude that it's just, I'm doing it because I have to do it. No, I'm doing it because this is what I'm begging Krishna for more service. So in the Adi Purana, it's described that also Krishna to Arjuna tells Arjuna that those who say they're my servant, they're not my servant. Actually, those who are the servant of my servant, they're servant. And Lord Shiva also said to Parvati the same thing. So we should, maybe to fix that attitude again, we should humble ourselves and see what service we can do for all these servants in the room. What we can do to increase the proper attitude. And this will definitely please Krishna. And we'll be very happy too. Because we have a tendency to think that we need something in return for our service. But this only destroys that gift that we're giving to Krishna. Not that what he can give to us, but what we can give to him. So this is how we can happily serve in this lifetime and in the next, and please Krishna. And Krishna will take us home out of this very, very deep and dark Kali Yuga. And I just have an announcement now. I just received on my phone here that there's an update to the hurricane. This is for everybody in the material world. Everyone should be taking this warning very seriously, that this material world is full of turbulence at all times, and that we should take shelter of this process of bhakti. It's extremely important because it is that this is beyond category 5. It's like to the exponent of whatever, 100. Because it's not only an immediate threat, a death threat, but it's for sure 100% that we're all going to die. And we're all going to have to take birth again, which isn't a pleasant thing. So the warnings are there for all human beings that we should take an evacuation route immediately. We should understand that our escort is Srila Prabhupada, that he can take us out of this repeated birth and death. We can finish up our business here, and we can have a route of safety back to the spiritual world. So, less intelligent, they're saying on the reports that less intelligent people will go into the eye of the storm and think everything's all right. So most everybody out there in the material world is thinking, I'm okay, it's all right. You know, a little rough before, but whammy, when you walk out on the other side of the hurricane, it's even worse. I lived in Miami. I went through many hurricanes when I was a child. And we always thought everything was all nice. We'd go out and play. My parents would say, you get back in that house, right? Because it's worse on the other side. So don't think that everything is hunky-dory here. It's not. That it's very turbulent. It's very, very dangerous. And Maya is in that eye. And she's trying to allure you. Yes, it's fine. I promise you this. I promise you that. I'll give you pleasure. No problem. Just become my slave. So we should take that seriously. Now the governor has claimed that he's cleaning all the shoulders of the highways so that if there's for evacuation, that everyone has plenty of space on, you know, you can have more lines of people coming out. And I just heard a little while ago that he's stopped all the tolls. No one has to pay toll to go on the road, on turnpike, all these things. So this is our governor, Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya has arranged that this process of bhakti is totally free. It can accommodate everybody, no matter who you are, where you're coming from, however many people are in your car, how many people you want to take with you. You can get on this route of bhakti. And then there's service all along the way. The roads are decorated because his service, as you decorate the Supreme Lord, the Lord says, I will decorate you. And you'll become even more beautiful. So this is a wonderful path that we have. In provisions, take your torch. Bhagavatam is the answer, right? It's the torch. These scriptures are the light to enlighten all of us and get us out of this darkness. We know who we are, where we're going, who God is. So make sure you take your Bhagavatam. And food, the nectar of the holy name, is so sweet. And you can take unlimited food. And that will provide you whatever you need. And of course, you can't take any baggage with you, I'm sorry. No anarthas, no unwanted desires, all those things that you think you need, that you can't help but have materially. Sorry, you have to leave them all behind. And as far as fuel, what do you think the fuel is? What keeps us going? A devotee association. Without devotee association, we cannot make it. This is a lot of our advancement in spiritual life, is to have constant association with devotees. It strengthens us, strengthens our devotional service. So it's very proper, it's that we take heed of all these alerts, and then we're guaranteed that we're going to go to the shelter, the eternal shelter where we all belong, and that's at the lotus feet of Krishna. And we get out of this material world. It's really a bad bargain. And even devotional service, while we're in this material world, there are turbulences that we all go through. Devotees aren't exempt. It's not just going to skirt around us just because we have a temple here. But it will make it so we can endure it, so we can actually ride over this very, very easily, because we have that strength of devotional service, and we understand it's a temporary situation. So don't ignore these warnings. And there was one notice on that MR4SPR, I don't know what it is, whatever it is, it said that if you are evacuating, if you could go to the shelter and take maybe a dog with you or something. So when we're leaving this material world, we're in bhakti, we try to find all the living entities, all the whatever shape and form is it, and take them with us. That's our greatest service. And Krishna's most pleased when we do that, that he'll make the road especially smooth for us, that if we can help the fallen conditioned souls that are being shackled in so many ways, that are being slaves in this material world. So it is our duty to do these things. And then we can ride the storm. Does anyone have any questions or any comments? Yes, Bhagavati. I don't know if there's a... Okay.
So we've heard before us, there's a Bhagavatam set that we can purchase and donate, and then if we do that, we'll be guaranteed to go back to Godhead. So my question is, if we do that, and we go back to Godhead, will we stay there?
Would you want to come back and do some more sets? You can. You can. Papa came back and did some more sets. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, you can come back and keep serving Krishna in the material world. It might be a little more difficult, a few more hurricanes probably, but yes. Anything else? Yes. You have to somehow or other let them know that they're actually in a prison. people just don't realize that they're shackled. I mean, you go by and you say, how you doing? I'm doing good. You'd like to be better? No, I'm good. It's really hard to convince somebody who says that they're okay. But we have to show them our lifestyle is much better. Everything about this lifestyle is better. And make sure you don't see devotional service as a burden. Prabhupada was so upset when he was installing deities and saying, in the future, don't think it's going to be a burden. Don't think that devotional service is a burden. We should be smiling all the time because it's such a pleasure to engage in service. And so we should show the world, especially like in Harinam, sometimes we're like, but everyone should be blissful and happy and jumping up and down. Really, if you go by some Harinams, people look like they're being tortured, you know. But so you have to realize, you know, blissful, you know. So I think that's the best way that people come by and see that we're engaged nicely in devotional service. And we have a festival every weekend or two a week or three a week during the summer that it is, spiritual life is a festival every day. And we should be very thankful to Srila Prabhupada that we're able to take part. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.